We're going to read from the scriptures two different passages, one from Matthew and one from Luke, the two gospels that share the birth of Jesus. So if you would, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25, and then we will read Luke 2, 4 through 20. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She shall give birth to a son, and you shall give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." By the way, the word Jesus is the Greek for Yahshua, or the same word in the Hebrew, which means salvation to the people. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel," because that means God is with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. I'd like to read then Luke 2, chapter 4, verse 20. Luke chapter 2, 4 through 20. "So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the Bethlehem, the town of David, because he had belonged to the house and lineage of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to the firstborn," her firstborn, "a son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will be of great joy for all the people. Today in the town of Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in the manger.' And suddenly a great company in the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." I know there are a lot of people that struggle with Christmas. It's a time for some even of sorrow. I struggle with Christmas a great deal, thinking that a lot of people don't get it. They miss the whole point. They miss the greatness that God has prepared for us. They missed the amazing beauty of God in this holy night. They talk about little baby Jesus, and it's almost a cute little acronym. I This past week, on Monday, my wife is a deacon in the church in a leadership role, and she told me we need to go visit the family. Would you go with me? And I said, yes. We went to see the family, and when we got there, it was a man and wife who had lived in a nursing care facility, and the woman had gone on to be with the Lord. And the children had come in, all the children were adults, and they came in and were talking. And I heard one of them say, Mother always took care of Dad. I wonder if she's looking down from heaven right now, even still thinking about taking care of the baby, the baby, taking care of him. And as I thought about that, I went, really? How many of you have ever heard somebody say, you know, I wonder if my granddaddy, or I wonder if my dad or mom, who's in heaven now, are looking down on us. They are reaching down, they're watching us. Really? Are you telling me that people who left this earth and went into heaven with all the glory and the beauty and the majesty and the greatness of God? As a matter of fact, those who've been to heaven, what do they say? Many of them say, the spectrum of colors in our rainbow is nothing compared to the colors and the beauty of heaven. When people talk about God, they talk about his greatness. And when the angels came to the shepherds knelt down. They fell on their knees. They were afraid. Do you really think the shepherds were going, oh, this just messes up our night? Really? I mean, we're about something very important here. We're about watching these sheep eat up the grass. This is big stuff here. Do you really think there are people that are going on to heaven that want to come back and watch me sit in Starbucks and work on my computer? Or look at me text my children? Is my life so good that the God of the universe, in whom I'm worshiping and I'm where I am in heaven, people are going to say, God, I'm sorry. I need to check on down here. Oh, wait a minute. They just fixed breakfast. Whew. But yet we do that at Christmas. Our Christmas presents and our Christmas time and buying presents and getting things outweighs our worship of the living God. Really? God's with us. Wow. Wait a minute. Let's back up. Think about that a second. I want us all to take a minute and just ponder what it means that God of the universe came down and was with us. The God who created everything. The God whose majesty and greatness we can't even comprehend. As I was thinking about this message, God with us, I thought about those who had seen God. If you go to Isaiah chapter 6, the first verse there, chapter 6, yeah, first verse. In the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on the throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And it goes on, it says, and they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of the glory of the Lord. And then in verse 5, what does it say? Woe to me. This is Listen, you come into the presence of God and what do you say? Oh, it's me!
God!
Listen, when you come into the presence of God, you come into all of creation. And he says, woe is me. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Woo! Wow! God, I can't even look at him. And then, in Revelation, you remember John the Revelator, John the one that Jesus loved, the disciple that Jesus loved, that was very close to Jesus. John said this in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead and now, look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Do you think that they ever did anything, the shepherds, that surpassed that night, that holy night? Do you think there was ever anything in their life that they could compare to that night when they saw the living God in person? David said this in Psalm 145:3. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. You know, people in the educational arena sometimes try to explain things as if they had the knowledge and the wisdom enough to explain anything about the living God. We cannot even fathom the greatness of God. And when we come into his presence, it's even more so. Moses could not fathom the greatness of God when he met him at the burning bush. Isaiah could not fathom God as he stopped before him in that vision in chapter 6. David could not fathom God in his vision. And now the shepherds saw God in his glory in that manger in Bethlehem, and they were blown away. They said, let us go even unto Bethlehem. That, whoa, we got to take care of the sheep. Excuse me? You handle the sheep. We're going to Bethlehem. Wow. Can you imagine being one of the shepherds and being the one that God actually in history decided you were going to be the one to go to Bethlehem? Listen, I don't think they ever got over that. This was an amazing event. How about this? Let's think about the kings that came, whether there were three or more kings that came. What do we know about the kings? Well, first of all, what we know about the kings is that the kings came and they saw a star and it led them to Bethlehem. Do you know how many centuries, how many thousand years God had that star set up to be there that night? Things don't just happen. Come on. Intelligence here. This was all part of God's plan. And that he had trained and made sure these kings understood and knew the predictions, made sure everything was in place, made sure that they were all ready, made sure that everything was completely ready for them to see the star and to respond that night to the star. This was all a part of God's great plan. And to know, I can't imagine to be the kings who were the first ones to bring presents and gifts to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that they were so blessed as to be a part of that. But before I go on, I want you to understand, lest we lose the point, what this is all about. Because it's expressed in a scripture that we don't often read at Christmas, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I want you to notice that. Do you remember what the angels told the shepherds? Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah the Lord. That joy has now come. Why did Jesus endure the shame of the cross? Why did he come and was he a baby in Bethlehem? Why did they go through all of this? Why? Because it was for the joy that was set before him. He was willing to be nailed to a cross. He was willing to be butchered. He was willing to be hurt. He was willing to be scorned. He was willing to be ridiculed for the joy. What joy? That wasn't for Jesus' joy. The joy that was set before him. What is the joy that was set before Jesus that he was willing to come? The joy of God in you. The joy of knowing God that's available to you. He died, Jesus died, that I might know the joy of walking with God. Me? Who am I? And yet, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords died on a cross so that I could know the joy. This is big stuff. If it's true for those who are skeptics, I want you to know if it's true, it shakes the universe. For everything before Jesus predicted Jesus and pointed to Jesus. Every culture pointed towards the Messiah. There was not one culture that even made up stories about their Messiah because they knew he was coming. Even the Greek gods were made up because they knew a Messiah was coming. All of that came from the things that God had laid in their hearts. And now the God of the universe finally fulfilled all that he had prophesied and given. And it was in a baby in the manger in Bethlehem. And it was for my joy. My joy. Your joy. Your joy, your joy. You see, God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son that you might be able to step into his presence and know the joy of the Lord. Wow. Is that big stuff or what? Is that great or what? Is there anything on this earth, I don't care what it is, that even comes close to that? Anything? Can you think of anything? I don't. This earth is mundane. Its events are mundane. Its very lifestyle is mundane compared to the ability to walk with God, to step into the presence of God. Jesus looked at Nicodemus. What did he say to Nicodemus? Marvel not, Nicodemus, that I tell you, you must be born again. And Nicodemus said, that doesn't make any sense. So how can I be born again? He said, whatever is born of the flesh is flesh. Whatever is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I tell you, and you're a religious person, you ought to know better than this, Nicodemus, you must be born of the spirit. If you're not born of the spirit, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God. You're going to miss the joy that Jesus came and died for. You must walk in the joy of the Lord. But here's the difference. Emmanuel, God with us, God in me. You see, we as Christians don't just have the opportunity of being with God. We have the opportunity of God being with us through the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Those who receive Him, those who fall on their knees, those who bow down and accept that gift will know eternity, will know God's grace and mercy. Those who reject it and all their excuses and intellectual flaws will miss the point of this very life. I want to, you know, there were shepherds. They responded. Will you respond? And that's, here's the point. We're here to respond to God, period. If you think what you're doing is all that important, it's not. Not as important as coming to that point where you say, I want to know the joy of walking with God. And when you get to that point where you're walking with God, there is such a joy that you were intended to have from the very beginning. I want to have Angelin come right now and play. And we're going to have the words up here on the screen. We're also going to have the words are in your bulletin of O Holy Night. Fall on your knees as did Moses and David and Isaiah and John and the shepherds. Listen to God speak right now. She's going to play, and I want you to read the words and let God speak. Will you respond? Thank you.
I was a youth minister at the time. I saw something in people there I had not seen. And I said, I want that joy. I don't know that joy. I can have my happy moments, but I don't know the joy of walking with God, because these kids talk with God. My kids just talk with God. They were walking with God. How do you walk with God? I said, I want that, Lord. And I gave my heart and life to Jesus, and in 1972 I was saved. After 10 years of thinking I was saved. Because walking with God brings you a joy that you cannot imagine. Everything makes sense in your life. You have peace beyond all that you can imagine. And that's the joy God wants for you. If you've never received Jesus, I want you to have the opportunity of accepting Jesus this morning. We're going to sing this. Don't you just something you just say, oh, holy night. It's an invitation hymn, the first and the last stanzas. And I want you to stand with me as we sing it. And also, the doors of this church are open for any commitment you need to make. I open here at the front if you need to make a commitment to Christ. This is not placed up. This is the way.